This podcast is in partnership with Design Biennale Rotterdam, Phoenix Museum, Lack of Guidance, Margreet Olsthoorn, New Institute and Rotterdam Partners, as they all share the common goal to create awareness, share opinions and empower creative growth.
Try to live healthy or try to live a good life, being very good in your body, that is the new black. For me, that is the new fashion. Styling is more important than design for me because it creates the world. The inner power is maybe more important than the day you choose because I never already planned this what I'm doing now.
In today's episode, we sit down with Margreet Olsthoorn, founder of one of Holland's most iconic fashion boutiques. Margreet shares how fashion became her tool for creating connection and independence. From navigating personal challenges to refining success, she offers profound insights into resilience, creativity, and the art of staying true to yourself. Let's dive into this interview. Hello, Margreet.
Hi.
Welcome in the podcast.
Thank you.
How is life treating you at the moment?
Today it was an unorganized, crazy day. That's also why we are sitting here.
We're sitting at my place today because we wanted to sit in your beautiful house, but there was some construction and we traveled with your car.
Yeah.
Nice car, by the way.
Mini Cooper Cabrio, but the roof was not opening today.
But it's beautiful. I'm happy that you're here. Can you explain a little bit what it is that you do with your fashion store?
Yeah, my store is very close to my personal ambitions, but also way of thinking. Okay, I sell clothes and sometimes I think also, yeah, shit, I sell clothes. Because for me, fashion is a thing that I really connect to all the arts disciplines, and also that I think that if it's not, or if it's just an empty cover or hot piece to have because everybody thinks that it's cool, so that's the reason why you have to wear it, or there is a cool brand and we know the story. So I'm very related to fashion in a way of expression and of individual beauty, personal beauty, but also beauty for each other to lift up, to lighten the world. And that's also because that makes my own individual life stronger. And I need it. I need it the same way as I need to go to the Bikram. I need to surround myself by beauty. So I try to be a place in my store that I can give that beauty, but also be like that little store maybe in the 30s or something, that people go there because they want to be there, because they want to see the beautiful things, or they want to have a little talk with me. And sometimes I don't have so much time for talk, but sometimes I have, and I'm interested in those people who I know for a long time. And that is all by the start of enter the store looking for a nice piece, or just browsed by the designers. The designers that I sell are high-end designers, but it's not because I need to, the high-end designers was not a start. So it grows there, and it grows there from unknown designers where I start. And then the high-end designers also came a little bit to me. So the first time I was really surprised, like, what the fuck? Anne Meulemeester wants to sell her stuff by me. I remember that as yesterday. But then, of course, when you start to do that, then you know already, okay, now I have to go there because you can't sell Anne Meulemeester. And then all the other brands are young and unknown. It's not possible because the policy is that they ask, what are the other brands that you have? And that's the story of the concept store. And the reason that I started a concept store was that I see myself as a designer, but much more as a curator. and stylist. I did a lot of styling before I start the store. And still I do it also now, but then in the store. But styling is, yeah, it is more important than design for me, because it creates the world. And conceptual of a concept store is also much more creating the puzzle of the pieces and the story. And then I combine it with art or presentations.
Or do you know if you're one of a kind in, for instance, the Netherlands or international?
Yeah, I hear that a lot. And I understand it because it's so individual that it's very special to people who enter the store. But I also know that if you go to Dover Street Market, it's impressive and it's huge. And then I'm that little if you compare me with Dover Street. And for me, like Juana Watanabe, or I mean Rai Kawakubo, the owner of Comme des Garçons and the owner of Dover Street Market. I mean, she is so big and so strong. And also she's old already, but she's still very, very connected still by that store. And in a way, I think like, okay, but I'm very small. On the other hand, if I walk through Dover Street Market, I was there in Paris. And then, okay, the entrance is fucking crazy with all those chairs. It's really beautiful. It remembers me also of the Bellion time, that we have all those chairs in a corner to prepare or whatever. And then you walk through, and then I was also a little bit disappointed because they have Rick Owens and they have all the designers, and also a lot of Japanese designers. But there was no connection between the designers, the areas of the designers, and the people who have to sell the clothes. They just stood there and they check your outfit, or they just smile, or they want they recognize my shoes or whatever they thought, or maybe. But even that was like, there was a super big distance between being in. So it was also like a zoo that you walk through. And then I don't know if you've been there already. It's all small areas and you walk through it. So it's not a big space. Like in Tokyo, you have the big one. And in London, it's with stairs. But now it was like super small. And yeah, I think if you tell me, are you special or international, then I think I am. But because of the connection of myself into the store. And that is quite special, because it's in high-end fashion world. It's not so, it's more like, or yeah. It's not so used.
It's quite the opposite.
Yeah.
I'm happy that you mentioned that you do agree to a certain point that you are probably a little bit more special or unique. Because I live now more than 15 years in the city, Rotterdam. We never met, but I think in the first years already heard about your name. I have also attended one opening of one of your stores. Basically, the image and the awareness of Margrethe Olsthoorn is quite powerful. Therefore, I would say you're well known. Do you also consider yourself as a personal brand? And if so, how much are you doing about this to nurture it?
Yeah, I see myself like that, because, and also in this time, I also mention it because I work with also a lot of people in art or architects or artists who want me to choose their outfit or discuss or that I address them. But then of course they say, okay, I will mention. And then now in this time, because we are all so eager in names, I always tell them, okay, you can mention me, but you mention me and you don't mention the brand, because I'm the brand. And that is because I have to fight for that also, because if it would be like Margrethe Olsthoorn and all the brand names, the designer names, I mean, then, it's gone already. And that's also my struggle. I know how it was to have a store without internet. So that is a struggle. And on the other hand, it's also my strongest position, that I stay very close to what I'm doing, and also because I don't want to grow in a way, because if I would grow very big, then that was gone. Then there, the connection, the personal connection was done. Then you have to work also with financial partners and everything.
Could you do this in another city?
Yeah, that is the thing. The international feeling I hear a lot. That people say, like, I'm in Berlin or in New York. And also, I heard it always. So it's always a little bit like, oh, yeah. But then, of course, I mean, I'm not stick to Rotterdam like I couldn't live somewhere else. I have the feeling that I can live in every city, I think. And if I would do this in another city, I would be happy. Yeah.
Well, we started this afternoon at your place and you showed me a little bit where you live. It actually felt not Rotterdam, but Berlin. Is there a special reason why you chose this style? Is there someone or something that inspires you so much to live by?
Now, the style is quite rough, right? And a little bit empty, but a lot of space.
Spacious, I'd say.
A lot of space with not so much decoration.
It's quite the opposite of here.
Yeah. No, yeah, it is.
Would you live here? Okay, next question.
Yeah, I think that for me, space is very, very important. I can tell you a little bit about the way I lived when I was little. Because my father, he built his own house and it was flat. So I was seven or eight. And I had a very strong discussion with my teacher because he said every home have a roof. And I said, no, that's not true. My home don't have a roof because we had a flat villa, but flat. And my father, they took him out of school because of work. He did it well on school. And in a way, he dreamed about, he was a skater, but he also wanted to be an architect at a while. And then at that moment, he had to go back to work. But he had a lot of style. So I was very happy to live in that house. And it was surrounded by a lot of green and water. And then finally, we built the roof, so the second floor. And then we moved to another house when I was 16. And that was totally surrounded in the dunes without any neighbor. So the first time that I was somewhere that I had to put out my shoes, I thought, I don't do it. Because I lived in a village, but we always lived out of the village. And it's not that we felt us better than the children who lived in the village. But the way that you have to come in and that you have to put out the shoes, and that's, it's a reaction. It is a reaction like... Also, I did ballet lessons, and it was in the second village, and there was one way to drive by a bike home. And then all the houses were standing, also separate houses, were standing next to each other, and you could really follow the television program that was on TV, because they put all the TVs on the same spot by the window, and most of the time they had that kind of curtains. And I was, as a kid, I had a lot of eager to go to the city already when I was because of ice skating. I was in the city. Children that I met, friends, they want always to play by me. And I said, no, I want to play by you. So I had eager to see the city and the small houses of the... But on the other hand, I think it's a reaction to have the feeling that the house has to be in a way empty, not too settled. It gives me a nice feeling to have a not settled atmosphere around me. That roughness gives me, comfortable feeling.
Have you ever thought about why this is?
I have two older brothers. But also, there was also another brother that he died when, in a way, sometimes I think that that is a thing because my mother was pregnant when that happened. And the other way is that I think, yeah, it's just me. I mean, I am like that. And I need kind of space in a way. I'm very open for freedom. On the other hand, I can also be very close or connecting, but it's not that I want to have that in my position of living.
I also don't see it as a negative thing. So for me, it's just a general question why it is. Because when I walked in, I was like, why not me? Where did it stop? Because if I look at my Pinterest, it's all there, but it was in your place, not mine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that fascinated me.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's also a tick. Yeah. If you collect too much, it's also the freedom can be from my feeling.
Yes, think the same. We constantly clean up, throw away, sell, but it always comes back.
Yeah, but I feel myself very comfortable here. So
What inspires you to open your store, actually? And maybe we should go back to the beginning, because you mentioned that you studied the Art Academy of Rotterdam. Maybe we should start there, if you like. Can you explain a little bit what roadmap you have after this?
The roadmap I had was that I did 2 interns that gave me the way, because I did not like those interns to repeat in my life or to do. And one was a designer and the other one was a styling office, but creating prints, till all different things. And it was also the area again, because I thought, yeah, but this is no freedom. I mean, I go by train, I have to stop by, one was in Weesp, and then I jump out of the train and take the bus for 10 minutes and then or something. And then I'm in the office. And so I thought, nay, I want to be close to myself. And at that time, I already chose for fashion. But that was also in the time of the Willem de Koning, the first year and the second year. I really had to fight a little bit for that I want to do fashion, because all the teachers thought that I was so much more an artist in autonome. And I was, but I thought, if all those people only can decide what is fashion, then we go the wrong way, because I think that is very important to have that together.
What did it do to you when people said to you, no, you shouldn't do fashion, rather go to autonomous art? What kind of feeling sparks inside of you that you think like, oh, wow, okay, this is a disappointment. Someone is giving different perspectives or opinions. And how do you find the strength to actually stay true to yourself?
I was really convinced that I knew the way of the way I looked at fashion, that was the way I wanted to show. And on the other hand, I was also not only disappointed, because I also was kind of, proud is not really the good word, but I could understand that they say that I had that connection, because it was true. So I was also happy that they saw it.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Did you ever doubt that you made the right choice? Because looking backwards from now, well, it turned out quite well. Do you sometimes think like, maybe not fashion, something else? Maybe I should have done art?
No, I don't think I should have done, because I always have a lot of inner power for doing things. That's really my thing, that I'm very, in this time of gratefulness, I'm very grateful about that I have that. And to be honest, I think now sometimes, okay, and that's also next year I as Margreet Olsthoorn, so without the Bellion story, I exist next year 20 years. And that makes me a little bit like, okay, it's something to be, you can say proud, or that you can think, oh, wow, that's already a long time.
Where are you?
Also, where are you? But also, where do you go?
I actually meant, where are you with your thoughts? As in, wow, proud that I'm already there for 20 years. Or, oof, already 20 years.
Not that I think, oh, already 20 years, like, oh, my years are lost, because I always enjoyed those years. And it gives me also a lot of strength in other things of life. Like the change from Bellion to Margreet Olsthoorn was a crazy change, because I did not know that at the moment that we would quit Bellion. I know for myself, but 2 months before, I knew that this had to be done because of a relation thing. But at that moment, my baby was born also. So it was a baby quitting the business together, selling the building together. And you know that we talked about prices, and we knew, or I knew, that the price that we would get, because I knew that we had to sell it directly. And it was the building on the Oude Binnenweg, the whole building. And I thought, yeah, fuck, this is not a good plan, because if you have time, you can keep the price much higher than. And we bought the house where I live, and then I had to sell the ex-partner out and a baby. And I was really, really convinced that I would go further without the furniture, but that I would go further because it was my concept. The whole story was my creative thing, and the business was really something I could not do without him. And it was very strong, but I know this is my story. So the inner power is maybe more important than the day you choose, because I never already planned this, what I'm doing now. I never made a business plan, for example, or I never thought, yeah, next year it's, yeah, okay, that can, sometimes I can think about that, but then I think more like it goes like this and then like this, so really round all the positions, and then there is something that comes up, for example. But now, where I am, I... Yeah, fashion is really changed, and Instagram and the way people think they have to look. And also, there is one thing that is in my head at the moment, and that I think also because I live healthy, and I try to live in even more healthy, or I do already for 15 years Bikram yoga, and I think now also because of my age and also because the time changed, I have the feeling that try to live healthy or try to live a good life, being very good in your body, that is a kind of like fashion is the new black or something, that is the new black. This, that for me, fashion is, that is the new fashion. So it's, and of course you have a lot of gyms and you have a lot of yoga studios, and that's not what I mean. So I sell Y3, for example, and Comme des Garçons, and by Y3 you have a lot of athletic clothes also, that I want to do something with that, maybe a combination. And the other combination is that I want to work with artists that I choose, that I like Michel and Ami for Eric Owens, that I'm the person who every time, that you, like you are doing now with me, and that you choose the person that you want to talk, that I want to be the person who will work with different kind of artists, and then every time to do a collab or something. That could be also something that is in my head today. Not only today, but that is a little bit browsing. I'm always browsing a little bit through things, and then there is always something happen also in the store, of course, with art things now.
For the people who don't know you, a little bit of a summary, that you had a fashion store before Margreet Olsthoorn, Bellion.
Yeah.
And that was with your life partner, and that's where you refer to.
Yeah.
Can you describe a little bit how the period was? Because a lot of things happened at that crossroad.
Yeah.
To sort of say, for me to hear it, it's like I'm now around that period of life. What kind of advice would you have for people how to find inner strength? Because when I'm sitting now opposite of you, and the only thing that I think and see and feel is inner strength.
Yeah.
All the answers that you give, you're so calm.
Thank you.
What would you
say to someone else my age or younger or maybe the same?
Yeah, it's something that I think that I had as a kid, like a normal thing for me. And also, I think what I can say is when I was a skater girl, and not skater girl, but ice skating, I was really trying to be on the top because I saw myself as a star. And when older people on the table by my parents asked me, what do you want to be later when you grown up? Then I said, I will be a star. And a star is an ice skating star. So I was really serious in that. My father always told me, he called me Gruts, always. And then he said, Gruts, niet naar anderen kijken. Don't mention all the other people, just go. And that sense is still in my head, always. I mean, it's not always, but it's really there. And so that is something. And so I think the way you grow up, it's also as a father and also to my children, of course, I know that sometimes also I'm a horrible mother or whatever. You'd never do it always good, that you have to know, I think. But that you give them that they really are comfortable. But also, yeah, and also in sports, that you understand. After that, I did athletic, and my distance was 800 or 1500. And before I go out, because then it was over. Also, a very terrible face to feel as a parent. I see now when I think about that position of my father at that moment. But that you feel that pain. I had always, yesterday I told a friend that I had finally on the finish, or that you want to go over, and that there is like you did 400, 600, and then last 200. And then I had always pain in my mouth. I don't know why. And then that you know, okay, and now everything. And that feeling I had at this moment, it was also because I was really angry, really angry. And there was somebody who, also my ex-partner, but in the whole story was there also somebody who did something that I thought better she than me. I moved it to a kind of good position, and there was a kind of horse in me, a running horse, and that sound of that running horse that I heard, I think for 2 years, like, okay, goddamn, go. And of course, also moments that it was not there. So it's, for some people, it sounds super crazy, but there were also moments that I needed, because otherwise you can't, you have to. And I think it's also normal. I think everybody will do their thing. Also, everybody needs to have that push, okay, this is the moment that I have to push.
A lot of things happened, but you also found the strength to continue to move forward. And you described the sound of a horse for almost 2 years. But the thing that I'm also thinking of is that it could also have been that you would do alcohol, drugs, or just nothing, just sit and let it happen. What made you go forward and not stand still?
The first thing was that it was really my story after the Willem de Koning, that I thought, okay, we start this, and that it was super successful. And it was also, we start this because I had a boyfriend at that moment that I thought, okay, he is funny, and I, of course, I loved him, and he did crazy things, but never finished something. So in his whole story till I was there, he never finished something. And also, when he was fed up with it, he let it go. And in the time that we were busy, I was the one who said, no, okay, it's shit, but we go further, because let's do it like this, or let's move it in the other way. And it was also a lot of credits also for him, because he was a very hard worker, and he was also a pioneer. So he was also in the world that we create a very big part of it. But yeah, it was also that I thought, yeah, it's my story. Okay, you can go down the grain if something happens like that. But also, I see a lot of people who do almost unbelievable things, like running the marathon, and you come from Ethiopia, you're poor, you start without shoes on your feet. I mean, there are so many different ways to survive. And it's also maybe the same way. It's also that instead of drugs or alcohol or whatever, no, it's also drugs, I think, but to give that a push, you keep your head strong and then you feel a little bit that sparkling again. That sparkling is the same as drugs, but it's something that you trust in to go further.
You described that your father said to you, don't mention what other people might say or do. Is this also something that you talk a lot or did talk a lot about with your daughters? Because you're quite, yeah, you're very close to your daughters.
Yeah.
They also took part in your store. And
yeah,
what kind of a lesson have you given them? Or is it that you actually don't talk about it, but you do it in another way?
Yeah, I don't talk about it so much because I think they take it as it is. So they see it also. Yeah, of course you have that positions in age. So for example, by Yip, I saw a lot of reactions in the other way. Like, we are very good with each other, but there was a time that she was really the daughter of, and she hated that. So when there was a question of if she was the daughter of Margreet Olsdorn, then she said, no, I'm a Yip. And she was also in wearing a lot of colors. So she was like creating her own, and she's also interested in art and in, but really her own thing. Yeah, finding her own way and totally different than I did. Also that she did interns instead of going to a university or academy. By Lev, she is 20 now. Yeah, nee, I think I let them do their thing. We don't talk so much about things, but they both have that. They are not scared. So even Lev, she is in the corona tijd, he was 16, 17, 18. And then you hear a lot of crazy stories about children. And also I think Lev is maybe a little bit, yeah, that there is influence of that time by her, but she is very close to herself. I think that's also about that healthiness that I see with a lot of people of my age, so 50 plus, and all the people 60 and a lot. That if you are far away from your body, then you can't be close to yourself also, because your body moves slowly, because so that feeling of being a kid and being comfortable in your body, and also when you're comfortable in your body when you're 50, or instead of being far away from that, and that is a thing that surprised me sometimes so much, that people in a way, yeah, that is a thing that I think that gives you power also to go further. That's also because I see it around me, that some people have the feeling that, oh, that's already behind me or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I don't have that feeling. But I'm also not 50 plus or...
No, but I mean, if you living in... not in a good condition, it's something that you can change by your own. And if you do that, then I think that you're more can be close to who you really are than that is super far away from it.
When did you notice this yourself, that this is such an inspiring
thing?
Thing.
Yeah, I think But I come at from a very sporty family. And in a way, I was the only one who escaped out of that in a way that I want to go out and going to Nighttown with a car in with some guys in and girls also. But then driving back at 5 o'clock in the morning and sleeping by my by a girlfriend, because I would never could go home at 5 o'clock when my parents would know that. So I was really at that time kind of trying to see the other worlds, to try. And then so that was another part, but I think I knew it from now. It's also for myself, I know it, but I also see that there are so many addictions, also Instagram or also internet or gaming, or you can lose yourself with a lot of things. And if you are a little bit, I think that if you are close to your body or in a way comfortable, that you feel yourself better.
Well, you mentioned that you do see yourself as a personal brand. Do you also see yourself as a role model?
For who?
I don't know. For me, for instance, when I'm listening to you, I find it quite inspiring. Not per se that I see you as a role model, but, well, an inspiration. Are you sometimes thinking about this, seeing that you're also a personal brand and it doesn't need to be commercial or whatsoever? The personal touch that is so important to you in life?
That is maybe funny, because sometimes I do the short teaching things by academies. I did also when they graduate to support them or to discuss before they do. Every time when I do it, it feels very easy. And it's not far away from me at all. But I'm also not a person who put myself on stage.
No, that's what I do today.
That's your part.
Would you still like to be more involved in education?
Sometimes I thought, but I have a friend. She was the director of the Art Academy in Arnhem, Artis. And now she has a good position by Willem de Koning. And when I told her, and I did sometimes things for Artes, also for Willem de Koning a few, for Artes more, and for Rietveld also a little bit more. She always say to me, no, but that's not possible by you. So I don't know.
This is a contradiction.
Yeah.
If someone says no to you.
Yeah, it's a contradiction. Really, that's true. But it's also that I'm a little bit scared about the system. That's a little bit of thing, because I'm in a way very afraid of systems. That's I'm not afraid of, because if you are a professor or a teacher or whatever, you have to take the rules, so to be at time and to listen to the things that you have to teach or whatever. But and that's not where I'm afraid for, but maybe if I want to do something, I really want to go for it. And if there is a structure that keeps me out of that goal, then I get irritated. So that's maybe the thing, the contradiction is, okay, if you want me, I will do it. But can I handle the rules when I see that it's not good for the targets? I like to work with young people. That's true. But I'm not able to make, for example, the Margreet Olsthoorn Academy.
No, I also don't strike you in such a way. I think you're exactly at the place where you should be. But my head is already spinning while you gave this answer, like, how can we nurture this? Because I find this untapped potential for educational elements, I find it too valuable. But good to hear that you are so much involved with the youngsters. And it's also what you do a lot with the store, because you already named some of the brands that you work for and that you way back already started with Anne de Mellemeester.
Yeah.
But you have such a big attention as well for inspiring talents. And so why is this actually?
I always say the store is not from elastic. So you can't put everything in it. If it was from elastic, I would do much more.
What would you do?
If the store was from elastic, then I could be a much bigger show space as a curator for things that I think are worth to see. So I could make, for example, so much bigger store or open museum or presentation gallery out of those who present me, because every day I get questions from people, designers, artists, who want to present me or show me their design, if it's from jewelry to clothes, or an artist who heard that I did an exhibition with an artist. So there is a lot of animal. I think it's very important when you present something that it's nice, so that it's not loaded, because then it's also not beautiful enough to present.
Could this be done digitally?
No. Yeah, I hate all those digital things. I think, fuck it. I think how much we can see. It's too much. And it will never reach you. What I said about healthy is the new black. There's also, of course, time is the new black. And I think if you keep yourself in a way that you reach out to things in real time, that you really have the time to go once in a month, now, or just by accidents, things that happened by accident, not by scrolling, because that's not an accident. If you scroll, and finally you see something, wow, that's an accident. That's not the accident. I mean, the accident is the magic that you will be there on the right time with that touch of, wow, this is really beautiful. It can be, of course, a piece of clothes, and can also be a moment in life or a person. Or nay, I think digital is a little bit it makes us poor.
In audio,
yeah, that is maybe different, because I always had for me is voice super important. Also, I can stick to a voice, and sometimes very irritated. But
I hope it's not my voice.
Nay, I mean that a voice can be so important that you also, in a positive way, that you can miss a voice, or that a voice can give you strength or something. Also in both ways. But yeah, it is, of course, much more individual than only pictures. But it's still a voice. But then there has to be something,
touchable.
Yeah, it's also you. For example, if you listen to a podcast, it's totally different than that. I listen to somebody who I met, and she or he starts to tell a story. That's still different. So I choose for the podcast and the meeting with the person with the story is a nice accident or a nice surprise.
You already mentioned that you didn't work or don't work with a business strategy. How have you managed for 20 years to run your store? What has it given you, and what has it cost you to not work with a business strategy?
Maybe it would be better with the business strategy. I don't know, because I never...
I also don't know, but many people will probably think like, wow, she did it without. Maybe I should do the same. Or how is this possible? Please explain.
Now, yeah, a business strategy, if you need people for that, that is always... business strategy is most of the time also that you do it because you need money or because you want to grow. And when you do that, then you lose your individuality in the way of power. And also, it's like I have the feeling that I just do my thing. So
Turns out quite nice.
I think that if you start to work with a business strategy after what I did from the start, for example, somebody reached me now with a super cool business strategy plan, then it's not that I will not listen. And maybe it's just that till now I could do it alone. So it's not that I'm against it. Not at all. I like also big ideas. I really like.
What would you like to do with the store? Now it's 20 years. Do you have different directions or upgrades or keep it as it is?
Yeah, that is a thing what at the moment, I don't know. So that's a little bit in my, that I'm a little bit checking out.
Does it also feel like luxury or like a burden or?
No, it's more that I dreamed that because I will give a show by Brutus for next year, and I will make a book about us 20 years in a way of a magazine. It will be more a magazine. There are two interns who are working on it now. And then a musician reached me and he said, maybe we can do something. And we will do it all in the spring. And then I dreamed that I was on the podium, or there was a friend and he said, yeah, but now it's really have to go about you and not about your collection or about your story. It really have to be about you. And I thought, yeah, okay, but how we do that and is it necessary?
You can play the podcast.
Yeah, yeah, let's do that. Yeah, and then the models walk on the podcast. That could be also nice because I did it also with Chris Berry with AI ChatGPT, nice. Also with voices at New Institute. But I have something recalcitrant in me, so something that I feel that, okay, this is the moment I have to kick back or go the other way. So I'm still busy with it. And I had a feeling that I was there on the stage and I said something like, okay, this is the 20 years, but now I go and I will do something else. Also that, so that, and of course I will not throw away. So I also think that you build always. And it's not that I will quit the store, but I don't think so. But the dream was that I said, okay, and now I go to do this. So,
in what kind of a direction could that be?
Now, that could be in art, what I said, or a combination of sports, but then more yoga, like a super exclusive combination that there is a part of a store and a part of a gym or something not like that could be also. But also, it could be also, I did paint last time there was an exhibition and I put something of myself there. It was with Jeff and Sarah. I know that is a part of me that I really, it's in me and that I can do, but I need time for that. And also to build it up. There is already a concept, but it's also a bit that I think sometimes by art, then art is there when it goes over the edge, and then it's only interesting when also the story behind buying the pieces is interesting.
Could it be a museum?
Yeah, but then it doesn't catch my head because I don't know how you can pay a museum, how you can
that's
rent
practical
people.
But yeah, thinking big, that's what you imagine.
But that practical part, like like if you are, I never get money from something. So for me, it's if I do something, I have to earn something because then I can do something. So I do something I like, but then I have to earn and then I can go further. So that big part of that is something that then you need a business plan.
Do you ever lay awake at night?
Not so much. I accept that I do not understand a lot of the world. On the other hand, grow up with the responsibility that you have to know what happens in the world, so that you read a newspaper and see the journal. On the other hand, I know a lot of people from totally different age who don't look at that anymore. It's kind of strange for me. So I try also sometimes not to do it, but it's not really, I don't accept it also. Yeah, what I said to you when I was a kid and there was somebody...
A homeless person.
Yeah, then I always saw that the first, even when it was hidden, I saw it. And also in Rotterdam, I know the beginning when I, because I lived in Tel Aviv, but also in The Hague, in cities, before I came to Rotterdam. And the position of Rotterdam Central Station was so bad at that moment. And I thought, whoa, how can I live here? And always touched me a lot. It's now already different because I saw also on the Witte Ditsla that people really sit there with a blanket and sometimes with a paper, that I thought, well, I never saw this before. But also I realized that we talk about my home. I don't open my door and say to that homeless person on the corner of the street, hey, you can sleep here. And I realized myself that also. So, but it was not really my close struggle. It's more the struggle about the mess of the world. Yeah.
Do you in any way feel responsible for this generation and the next?
I don't know. I mean, if the answer of that, of the Freckel Franke book, in which situation you are, you can always make a difference. That is a little bit the big line of that book. And
do you agree?
I can agree, but not for myself. I mean, I don't know if I could do that. So I don't know if I'm strong enough for that. Because, yeah. If you imagine what can happen to you or what happens, and you can make a difference in many ways, but sometimes there is no power at all. If you know that your life is ending, for example, I think that you can make a difference in the way you want to end. But also, if you can think about that, I don't know. I'm quite romantic, so that is maybe the best answer. I don't know.
It's also not the easiest question.
Nee.
And maybe the question was also, do you feel responsible for this generation and the next? Do you ever thought about it, that you are responsible or not, because you're just an individual? How do you see yourself? Or maybe in the industry, maybe to narrow it a little bit down?
In fashion, I think I did my job. So, and I'm not thinking about it. I'm really sure that I still think that fast fashion is a lot of shit. And but I also know that it will never stop. And that position of people who could minimalize that, the politics around that, and that we put all those big markets for cheap things into the center, and that we also let them spread out lies about green energy and recycling, and it's totally not true, and that they're still allowed to open the door every day, and that the production comes from totally very, very bad situations. And that people believe that it's good for them to buy it. I think that's in that way I did my job, I think. Yeah. And I also tell people when they buy, and customers know that also, that they tell me sometimes, that all the things that I did clean my closet, but all the things that I have from you, I still have, and it's from 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And also when they buy something, I also tell them, please wear it every day. Not only a few days or a few times a year or as a special piece because you love it so much, because you love it so much, wear it every day. And when there comes holes, doesn't matter. Go to the tailor and let them make the hole. So I don't ask them to come back as soon as possible to buy something else. I mean, I trust that I come back to buy something else.
Talking about clothing, people know me for wearing black a lot.
Yeah.
You wear black a lot?
Yes.
Why is this?
Yeah, it's because there are more reasons. It's because I feel myself very comfortable with it. And also because I think when you have a lot of cuttings and nice forms in clothes and details, then it's not necessary to also put it in color. And then when I buy, for example, Rick Owens or Comme des Garçons or whatever, then I see sometimes the collection is a lot of black and there is, for example, yellow or pink. There's always one or two colors that I put in the collection. You need the color to sell the black pieces. And that's very important. Also, because if you only have black, then it's one big blur of black. So then you need the colors to lighten up. But in an outfit for a person, it's not so necessary to need that. And you can wear also nice jewelry, or you have your skin or your hair. And when my kids were little, I really liked to put them in black. Black t-shirts or dark blue, also dark blue, because I saw that their personality becomes so much stronger in their face than its family, a far family, oh Lily, all those colors. I don't see my kids anymore when I see all those colors. Mm-hmm. So it's also personality to give the person more power or more individuality. And by me, personal, it's also a little bit. Yeah, I'm not shy, but I don't want to sit here in a red dress, for example.
You already mentioned that you are a romantic person.
Yeah.
Shall we go to the A or B do or die questions? Because this is actually the first question that I had. Are you more practical or romantic?
We have to answer. I think, I'm more romantic. But in a way, I think that it don't have to be sometimes... if you want to realize your romantic flow, you need also practical is for me is practical. Try to find out how to do it.
You strike me as very practical.
Yeah.
When you describe that you don't have a business plan or strategy, it assumes that you're quite practical.
Yeah.
But still, you would say I'm more romantic than practical, or is it both?
Yeah, it is both. I think.
Are you more emotional or rational?
I think also both, but it depends on the situation when one comes after the other.
Strategy or intuition, I think we can already assume.
That is, what do you think?
Intuition.
Yeah, me too. But... but then the difficult part about intuition and then put it into strategy, the same, to let it go, is sometimes quite difficult. So that intuition can go. Yeah, the words are very close to each other. The feelings are close to each other.
Yes, but I do find them different.
Yeah.
Seek comfort in routine or thrive on constant change?
Yeah. That's a little bit a thing that also it comes also a little bit from my when I was young. My mother was very planned in routine, very very strong, like things of in the the morning, maybe already know what to eat in the evening, just plans, but not obsessed, but and also in the evening, making the table for the morning, because everybody was early, also because my father had his own business and had to run early. But also, I get very irritated when things are too tight planned. I hate it. But I know sometimes I have to plan.
Yeah, so I like more the
constant change.
Yeah.
Adopt a proactive approach to challenges or react as situations arise.
Yeah, I think the last way. But I like to test that sometimes also very much. So it's more a game that you know already what happened, but that you do it just to see if it's true.
I can only ask why.
That is the fun also. Sometimes, yeah, I really like to be, I like to be sometimes very, not rude, but in a way like that I feel that people think like, huh? And then I do that on purpose.
Why?
It's more, it's fun.
Well, I'll stop asking why. I find it fascinating.
Yeah, why? Yeah.
No, it's okay. But for me, the first thing that I think of is that you as a person need space.
Yeah.
And in this way, you create extra space in the space that you already have. And perhaps you already have enough space, but you see that you might gain some
more space
or different or color it in your way. And also that being in the comfort zone is very nice. And you seem to be very aware of who you are and that you have a lot of rest and calmness about it. But then still find the excitement in, well, the game that you...
Yeah, it's a little bit a game also, toch? It's also, like, this is also a game. I mean, it's sometimes funny to trigger, not to be rude, but... and maybe it's also a little bit that grows because of not really position, but more try to do it still on my own way. Also in business, there are rules like for buying sometimes or accepting. People accept sometimes also how a store would look like, or sometimes people already fill in how I will be, for example.
I didn't.
Heel goed.
Oh, but he had the feeling that wouldn't be a good case. Focus on developing new skills or perfecting existing ones?
I think in the beginning, the first thing is new skills. Yeah.
What is something that you touched upon recently or in the past years that you thought like, this is a new thing? Very happy to have done this or discovered this?
The move, for example, but it's not 2 years ago, but it's...
the move of the store.
The move of the store was really something that I really believed in, and I'm very happy that I did it. And I also saw the strange thing about it. And that's, for example, that I can smile by myself a lot. Then I do something that people think, wow, she's totally crazy. I heard also that a lot of people thought, what is she doing? And but I don't do it because of that, of course. I thought, okay, I exist now already for enough time to take people on my side. And the center is not interesting anymore for me. Also, I like this area and this space where we are sitting now. Of course, you're very close to the store. This I read also that this area will be the new center. Yeah, the space of going to a store where you just go over the bridge, feeling that really New York, but I say Rotterdam vibe, and don't have to be in that messy, fast fashion sensor and just drive to me. And then that are my customers, but then all the other people who are fashion informed and are in those hotels, who are all on this island of Kop van Zuid,
and couldn't go anywhere, instead go over the bridge. Yeah, it was something that I really believed in. And also that I thought, okay, now I will get my credits, because I knew that the hotel really wants me also. So that part of...
Congratulations. I'm very happy for you. And the best has yet to come, like you explained.
Yeah, Zeker. Yeah, sure. That's nice.
Do you also have different customers now that you're on the south side of the river?
No, I think still the same. If lives change from customers, it can be a job, another way of living, or having children, or so all those things I see in all those years changing. Sometimes also people are very content with what they already have, or people are looking for a new style, or so it's all different. And it's I have a lot of customers who already come for 20 years, but also, yeah, there's always a kind of surprise.
Like me.
Yeah, nice surprise.
Teach about fashion curation or write a book about your career and insights?
Now, then for sure write a book. Yeah.
Yeah, you already mentioned that you are already doing this.
Yeah, but also I wrote a lot when I was young. I wrote a lot also. And I think writing, not to put yourself, but writing is also something that you do for yourself. So it's double. Creating is also nice, but maybe both also, but I like it both.
Focus on building a legacy of live in the moment.
Live in the moment is more that you try to be aware of what you have also. But I'm not a person who only can live in the moment. Yeah, I also have something like, okay, but we have also tomorrow. Yeah.
And that's your legacy?
Tomorrow? Or you mean more...
Long-term.
That's a difficult part for me. The way if you think about legacy and where you come from and what will you leave behind, sometimes it makes me too difficult to talk about because of all those things.
So if I would ask the question, how do you want to be remembered when you're not here? Would that be too deep?
In a way, yeah.
Well, let me not ask the question. Last question for the AOB. Yeah. Seek validation from peers or find satisfaction in personal assessment?
Yeah, the second one. Yeah.
Thank you for today.
Yeah, thank you. We're done. This was super. No, thank you. It was nice.
Likewise. That was my conversation with Margreet Olsthoorn. Her journey reminds us that fashion is more than clothing. It's a way to connect, express and inspire. Margreet's story of resilience and creativity encourages us to embrace change, nurture independence and find beauty in both success and struggle. Take her advice, stay authentic and let your passions guide your path.
If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to click the follow button. Rate the podcast, subscribe to the newsletter and spread the word, so we can continue to grow the Don't Waste Eye podcast. And remember, everyone struggles, and that's okay. But standing still prevents you from growing and reaching your potential. Keep moving forward, because the better you become, the more you'll inspire others. Don't waste your time, don't waste your eye.